It's just simply amazing to see all of you here tonight. And some of you who are online, you're wondering, who am I talking to? Well, we're in the process of regathering on Wednesday nights. July 28th will be our worship night. And that's when we're going to begin our nights here on Wednesday night. You still need to register your children so our children's ministry can be prepared for your children when you show up. And then for those of us who are here, they're helping us in the process of regathering on Wednesday night. So thank you for your perseverance and your grace as we do this together. It is always good to be the body of Christ whenever we're following the pillar of fire, the presence of God and His Spirit. Tonight, as we get to hear from Pastor Ben Urbanozo, we're going to learn that we're made up as different people, although the same species, we're made up differently. We all respond to things differently. We have different ways of dealing with our emotions, dealing with our thought process. We have different ways of dealing with other people and loving people and how to live a life that's God-centered while at the same time going through whatever difficulties we go through so that we can come out on the other side, not damaged, but still able to follow Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, when we first started thinking of the regathering and getting the facilities ready, something came to my mind, which was, there's a generation, and many of us are a part of the generation that helped build this facility and this campus, and we gave to a vision that was compelling, a vision that was for future generations. And we see the young ones back then, the adults now with children, going into the children's ministry that they helped build, because we were all a part of this building project. And it shows that when we come together, when we trust God and when we give to Him, it's more than just us giving, it's what God does with it. Because we give to many things. We give to the store for food. We give to Amazon to buy things. And some of us during COVID was like Amazon crazy. So now when we're coming back together, and many of us have been faithful throughout the past year and a half, and because of that, we can continue to do live streaming. We continue to meet. We continue to have all of our ministries. And as we regather as ministries, we get to still love people into the kingdom of God. So thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your obedience to Christ. Thank you for loving Him and loving people. Thank you even for those of you who are online that continue to build your relationship with the Lord. We'll hope to see you in person soon. And as we give tonight, let this be our prayer, that what we give to God is not the issue. The issue is the heart in which we give to the God who is able to outgive us. And then He utilizes what already belongs to Him so that we can be a part of something like this, even for those who are online. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we get to give to You. We're thankful that we are a part of a bigger picture. We're a part of something that You're doing around the world, and not just here in this place, but You're touching the globe. So as we give to You tonight, we give with a heart of compassion, a heart of thankfulness, a heart that loves You and looks forward to all that You're about to do. So we trust You, Lord. We know that You are good. And as You bring Your word, may we learn more and more about who You are. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all said together, amen. For those of you who are here, you can give online. We have the link or the church app. Many of you use the church app. Sorry, Pastor Ben. Just to let the people know here that we do have our tithe boxes in the back if you didn't know already, because for some of you, this might be your first time back, but we do have it back there, and then there are those four ways to give. Okay, we're good. Good to see you guys tonight. Pastor Ben, let's bring the word. Can we welcome Pastor Ben as he speaks to us tonight?
Woo! I gotta say, it is great to see people in the sanctuary once again, and it's great to know that you guys are joining us online. So, if I can be honest, though, for a moment, this is probably one of the messages that I didn't want to give. In fact, I remember I actually wanted to give a really light and fluffy message, and then the Lord said no. And, you know, Pastor Sheldon kind of touched on it, and as I was working on it, I understood why. It's because the truth is, we live in a world that's hurting. And, you know, the loss of a loved one, seeing relationships crumble, dealing with health issues, having financial hardships, facing consequences of making mistakes or failures. See, whatever it may be, the truth is that nobody likes it when life hurts. Pretty sure you didn't wake up this morning and go, man, I really hope my life sucks. Pretty sure you didn't do that this morning. I'm pretty sure you didn't say, man, I really hope I have a bad day today. No. But oftentimes when life hurts, we find ourselves lost, wandering, and broken down in the ruins of life. You know, for some of us, we find ourselves there right now. Maybe you're going through it, or maybe you've gone through a season that has taken a toll on your heart, our souls, our minds, and even our bodies. But it is in these painful moments that we can see the presence of God. And while we may not be comfortable with going through life's greatest struggles, we can find comfort in knowing that our God is greater. And when I look throughout the Bible, I see many people who have dealt with praising God in the midst of a painful season. But there's probably none more than Job. Now you see, if you don't know the story of Job, it's found in the Old Testament, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase it for just to get us to understand. Job is actually a righteous man, full of integrity, and God allows the enemy, allows Job to be tested by the enemy. The enemy came, Satan came and said, hey, I want to test that guy. And God says, you can test him, you just can't kill him. And so Job experienced heartache after heartache after heartache, hurt after hurt after hurt, loss after loss after loss. I mean, Job's livelihood gets taken away from him. His children die. His own health is taken. I mean, he pretty much loses everything in life. And even in the midst of it all, we see how Job reacts to that pain. It's found in Job 1, verse 20. And it says this, at this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship. This is right after everything happens. He falls to the ground in worship. You see, we all experience hurt and pain. We all encounter trials and hard times. But how we respond in these moments will reveal our heart and our relationship with God. And so tonight, we're going to discover how we can still praise the Lord even when it hurts. And the first thing is this. So if you're taking notes, you can write this down. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not be okay. I remember this one time we were playing basketball. I love playing basketball. I remember this one day, this one Sunday afternoon, we were playing at Waikiki High School Gym, and we're playing with some of our friends, and they brought their friends, and so we're just playing pickup games. It's not a competition. We're just playing for fun. And so there's this one time where we're playing, and I have the ball, and I'm going to dribble it down the court. Now, first of all, I don't know why I was trying to dribble it down the court. There's much more faster guys that could dribble it down the court than me. But for some reason, I was the guy. So I started dribbling down the court. I started running down the court. And my friend, who's on the other team, decides to guard me. Now, I'm like, dude, I am not the fastest guy. Why are you guarding me? Like, that's my first reaction. Like, dude, go guard somebody else that's faster than me. Like, let me bring it down. But no, he decides to come and pick on me. And so I'm dribbling the ball, and he's trying to get the ball, and we get tangled, and I fall down. And not only do I fall down, I fall on my stomach. And not only do I fall on my stomach, but my arm, for some reason, goes with it. I guess I was trying to brace myself, and I fell on my arm, and I actually elbowed myself in my rib. And so everybody's like, I'm in pain. I'm like wincing in pain on the ground. And everybody's like, hey, Ben, are you okay? Ben, are you okay? And my friend's like, hey, are you okay? And I'm like, bro, why'd you have to guard me? And so everybody's asking, are you okay? Are you okay? So I get up, and I'm like in pain. And so everyone's going, Ben, you okay? You okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay, I'm okay. And so I keep playing. Because I'm like, no, I'm fine. I'm good, I'm fine. And I keep playing. And so we keep playing, and I take a shot. And as soon as I make a shoot, I can instantly feel my side in excruciating pain. And so I kind of wince, and somebody goes, hey, you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. And so I keep playing. And then finally, the game's over. I don't know if we won or lost, but I remember going on the side and everybody's sitting down drinking water. And I'm like, I cannot sit down because if I sit down, I'm not going to get back up. And so I keep standing around. And like, you know, part of my, because I'm competitive when I play basketball, because I'm competitive and because of stupidity, I kept playing. Finally, Katie comes. Katie's my wife, and she comes to pick me up, and I start limping to the car because my body's just in so much pain. And she looks at me. She's like, are you okay? And I'm like, no. And she's like, what happened? I fell. And she's like, why did you keep playing then? Like, what? Hello, if you're hurt, stop playing. And I was like, but I wanted for playing. She's like, you dumb, yeah? You're not the smartest cookie, yeah? I'm like, wow, now she's insulting me. But the truth is, I wasn't okay. See, the dumbest thing that I did was continue to play and act like I was okay, and the reality is, I wasn't. You see, I think one of the biggest lies and myths that we tell ourselves is that everything is okay when it actually isn't. You see, we have this thought that if we're hurt, we got to just carry on with it. We got to carry through the pain. Weakness is not a part of our lives. We don't want to be guilty of having a pity party, so we just walk it off and answer, I'm fine, I'm okay, when we're asked how we're doing. I mean, let me ask you guys a question for those of you here and for those of you online. When was the last time when somebody asked you, how are you doing, and you actually answered, I'm fine, and we're actually fine? Because I think for some of us, it's a natural response, but it's not actually how we feel. You see, God doesn't invite us to have a pity party, but he does invite us to process our emotions and our feelings. We see that with Job. Job was a righteous man in the sight of God, and still he experienced hardships, heartache, and pain in his life. And when he goes through these moments, Job doesn't pass it off. He doesn't tell his wife, I'm fine. He doesn't put on an act for his friends. Job laments. That's what most of the book of Job is. It's Job lamenting. He deals with the hurt and pain by being honest with what he's going through. He expresses his frustration, his heartache, and pain. Job 3, verse 26 says, I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil. Job 17, verse 1 says, my spirit is broken. My days are cut short. The grave awaits me. See, Job isn't putting on an act. He's not saying he's okay when he's not okay. He's actually being real. See, Job allows himself to be vulnerable and transparent, even when it comes to God. He's not putting on an act with God. He doesn't act like everything's fine. When it comes to God, he's actually voicing his anger and sorrow. Like, Job complains to God. Job questions God. I think for some of us, as soon as we say that, we're thinking, man, that's kind of crazy. Like, how would this guy, why would he complain? Why would he question God? I mean, he does this throughout pretty much 40 chapters. But here's what I want you to notice, though. Do you notice how God responds to Job? Like, Job doesn't complain. He doesn't argue. He doesn't get upset. And God quickly answers with a lightning bolt. See, God lets Job complain. God lets Job question. God lets Job vent his anger and frustration. God gives Job space to process that he's not okay. If God gives us that space to process, then shouldn't we also take that time to process it for ourselves? You know, if I was to answer the question that I asked, when was the last time somebody asked you how you're doing and you said you're okay, but you actually weren't okay, if I can be honest with you, my answer would be very recently. See, for me, I've been going through a season. Yeah, I started before COVID. See, before COVID happened, I got into this I got into this spot with the Lord. I got into this conversation with the Lord that I was like, Lord, I want to grow a little bit in my relationship with you. I've known you since I was a teenager, but now as I'm a father and as I'm a husband and as I'm getting older, I kind of want to grow in my relationship with you. And so I kind of was like, Lord, I don't want to lean on who you were. I want to grow now in who you are now and who you're calling me out, who you're calling and creating me to be now. And so at that moment, it was before COVID, God said, there's some things you're going to have to unlearn. And so I was going through that process and I realized that there were things that I had learned that actually weren't healthy for me. And then COVID hit. Everything shut down. And I had to realize, and as we got pushed into that season, there was a lot of more things that that came to light. In fact, during COVID, I had mental and emotional breakdowns. Because I just was realizing there's a lot of things that wasn't okay that I was passing off as okay. And so I was trying to maneuver and navigate through that season. And then earlier this year, in January, my mother passed away. And man, that hit hard. And it's interesting because my mother passed away in January, and I went through it. Thought I was done with my mourning and my grieing. We had the celebration of life in March, and it was interesting because at the celebration of life, I wasn't emotional. I wasn't crying like other people were doing. I was strong, and I felt like, okay, I'm over this. I'm good. I'm fine. But then life continued after that. And there were things that changed because of the death of my mom. There was responsibilities now that I had. And there were decisions I had to make. And it started just pressure and things coming back and being perplexed and just realizing one simple truth. That I'm still not okay. I'm still not okay. I'm still broken. If I can be vulnerable for a moment, that's kind of the reason why I didn't want to give this message, but I heard the Lord say, no, you're going to have to give it. Because it's not the broken, it's who he is. I had to realize it's okay to not be okay. It doesn't mean that you push things on the side. That means that you let the Lord in to process with you. You see, when we're not okay, that's a divine moment for us to go to Jesus with it. See, with Jesus, we can share our feelings and our emotions. See, believe it or not, we can tell God that we're angry, that we're heartbroken, that we're hurting. We can question him. can even be upset with him. That's not only the process that he invites us into, but it's a process that he wants to be a part of. See, God is not scared of our emotions. He's not scared of our feelings or our questions or our complaining. He encourages us to be honest with him. And one of the areas that we do that in is in prayer. Prayer is where we get to connect with God in any season of our lives, no matter what feelings or emotions that we may have. And in this, we see who God is. He's a God who listens. 2 Samuel 22:7, and this is David, and David also went through highs and lows, and it says, "In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears." See, it's okay to not be okay and cry out to God. Let him know, "God, I'm not okay. There's things going on in me that why is this happening?" See, God wants us to be honest with ourselves and with him, with what we're going through. He invites us to have an honest conversation and dialogue with him, because it's okay to not be okay. What's not okay is staying there, which brings us to the second thing. Turn towards God. Turn towards God. I remember a couple months ago, we were at Katie's grandma's house, and I told the kids, "Okay, guys, you guys, let's throw your toys all around the place. So pick up your toys. Pick up your toys. Come on, let's go." And of course, as kids, some were doing it, some weren't. And so as I'm walking around, I step on a toy, and it was a plastic toy that had a sharp piece, and I stepped right onto it with my left foot. And I was like, "Ah," and I was like, and then I flew it. I was like, "I'm going to throw this away." And I threw it away. And I was like, "I told you guys, pick up your guys' toys. Why didn't you guys pick up your guys' toys? And look, Daddy stepped on one of your toys. And that's not a good thing, because I have diabetes." And so I stepped on it. I looked at it. I cleaned it out as best as I put alcohol, tried to, you know, be strong when I put the alcohol, and then put the Band-Aid on top. And I thought it was good. But then I had to, of course, walk. And as I'm walking, it was still in pain. And so I'm like walking around, I'm like, "Ah." And it felt like there was still something in it. And so my wife, Katie, is like, "Well, you know, you should probably go to the doctor and get that checked out." I'm like, no, "I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm fine, it'll be fine. I just gotta be light on it. Gotta just walk like this, you know, limp." And so she's like, "Why don't you just go to the doctor?" I'm like, "No, I'm fine, I'm okay. And so she's like, "You know, if you're in pain, you should go to the doctor." I'm like, "No, I'm fine." Well, eventually it becomes nighttime, and my foot was in so much pain that it was traveling up my leg, probably because I had to compensate for how I was walking all around the house and everything. And so I'm like, "Ah." And of course, Katie, with all the love that she has for her husband, was like, "You should have went to the doctor." And I'm like, "No, it's okay." And she's like, you're on the verge of crying. You know what? If it's that bad, I'm gonna take you to the ER. It's like, "Okay, fine, we can go to the ER." And so we go to the ER, they check us in, we ask us, "Oh, so why are you here?" "Oh, because," and I can feel Katie just in the back of me, just smiling, and just like, "Yeah, see, like, you should have went to the doctor. Now here we are at the ER. Now you gotta tell the nurse why you were here." And so I said, "Oh, I stepped on a toy because I have diabetes, you know, of course, with foots and all that, you know." And so like, "Okay." So they take me into the room, I'm waiting, and as I'm waiting, that person comes in to say, "Hi, how are you doing?" Give all the information. And then she says, "There's a copay, do you wanna pay the copay?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure." It's like $100. So I'm like, "Okay." So she goes, I give her the money, the credit card, she runs it through, okay. The doctor comes in, looks at my foot. What's the matter? I go, "Oh, I stepped on a toy, my foot is in a lot of pain." And he looks at it, and he says, "Oh, well, there's nothing inside of it, so what I can do is I can give you a Band-Aid." That was the most expensive Band-Aid I've ever paid for in my life. That was a $100 Band-Aid. You see, when we're hurting, we have a decision to make. We can either turn towards the hurt or we can turn towards healing. You see, Job had a decision too to make. In fact, his wife actually gives him a choice, and it's found in verses 9 to 10. His wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept God? Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. You see, in the same way, God invited Job to process what's taking place on the inside by turning towards God, because God wants to help and bring healing. See, healing can only take place when we decide to be honest with how we are doing, but also where we choose to turn towards. Psalms 147 verse 3 says it like this: "He, God, heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." You see, sometimes when we experience painful moments in our lives, we tend to actually avoid the God who gives us life. We shut him out. We close the door. We venture into dirty water. We retreat into our old ways and our old habits. Or we even decide to walk away from him. Several years ago, I went through a hard season, and I had an honest discussion with the Lord, and I said, "I'm going to leave the church. I couldn't do it. The hurt, the pain, the emotions I was feeling, I was like, I don't want to be here anymore." I went through that season, and I was like, "I'm done. It's not fair what's happening to me, and you know what? I'm just gonna walk away." And I was like, I'm dealing with all this. It just, you know, all these things are happening, and I'm going to leave the church. I'm going to leave here. I can go to another church. I can go serve somewhere else. I can go do this. I can go do that. Lord, I'm going to leave." And in that honest discussion, there was something very profound that the Lord spoke to me. He said this. He said, "You can very well leave. But let me tell you this. Are you leaving the church, or are you leaving my presence?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Because this is what he said. He said, the very place where you are hurt is where I want to bring healing. So are you willing to turn towards me? You can turn towards, yeah, you're being treated unfairly. Yeah, you're hurt and you're going through all this. Yeah, all these things are happening. You can turn towards that, and you can leave the church, and you can give all the excuses that you want. Or are you willing to turn towards me, even if that means you stay right here?" Well, I stayed. And I'm so grateful that I did, because the truth is, I've seen people walk away from church. They didn't walk away from the building, they walked away from the Lord. And I honestly believe that had I left, I would have been one of those people. In the state that I would have left, the feelings and emotions that I would have, I would have ventured back to dirty water. I would have ventured into old habits. I would have done all these things and not find healing because God wasn't there. Here, I found healing. I had to endure it. It wasn't always easy. But God brought healing. You see, I love, this is what we can learn from Job. And he says it in chapter 13, verse 3. "But I desire to speak to the Almighty and to argue my case with God." See, Job never turned away from God. Even in his arguments, even in his complaints, even in his heartache, Job turned towards God. I love it because he actually questions and he calls out to God, but he does it with humility. See, to turn towards God means to turn in humility. And what do we see? What happens when God shows up in Job's life? There's restoration. There's healing. You see, the thing is, healing can only take place in the presence of the healer. See, in Job 42, verses 10 to 12. It says, after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. I wonder what would have happened if Job turned away from God. I'm pretty sure I know what would happen. That restoration, that healing, that blessing would have never happened. See, we can learn from Job to turn towards God, because he is the healer, he is the restorer, and he is the blessing. And when we are honest with our emotions and feelings and turn towards God, we not only discover his healing, but we're reminded of just who he is. And that's the third point tonight. Remember who God is. Remember who God is. One of the things that I carry from this season is what took place when my mom passed away, and seeing God's grace unleashed. I remember after she had passed, I flew to Oahu, and that's where she was at Queens, and that's where she passed away. And I remember after it happened, just driving around Honolulu, and I didn't know where I was gonna go. I was literally waiting for the folks at the cemetery or the memorial home to call me. And so I found myself in Walmart in Honolulu for some reason. And as I'm driving around, all I'm listening to is worship music. And I just put it on Spotify, I just put it on random, and I just let it play. And what was so remarkable, and I'm not even joking, I'm not trying to make this sound like, oh, but again, this is God's grace. Every song that was playing through the car stereo spoke to me, comforted me, reminded me of who God is. That even though I was broken, he was there holding the pieces. You see, when we go through life's most painful moments, that positions us to not only process our emotions, to not only turn towards God, but to also remember who he is. See, I think there's a lot of times when we go through painful moments that we get so enamored by the pain that we forget who he is. We forget that God is for us, that he is with us, and that he loves us. I heard this said, and it was pretty amazing when I heard it. It's possible to be struggling with your faith and growing in your faith all at the same time. And why is that? Because of who God is. 2 Timothy 2, verse 13 says, if we are unfaithful, meaning if we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny who he is. You see, Job's experience with loss, heartache, pain, and anger leads him to an encounter with God. And what the enemy wanted was for Job to turn away from God. That was actually what he presented to the Lord. That's actually what he said to God. He said, hey, listen, if I do all these things to this guy, Job, I guarantee he's going to walk away from you. And God, in all his faithfulness, said, go right ahead. And in that, Job didn't turn away from God. Job discovered who God is. See, God is present in our triumphs, in our end, and our defeats. He's present in our joy and our sorrow. He's present in the good times and the bad. God will use any and every opportunity to remind us of who he is. See, this is the last thing that that Job says to God after he is spoken to from God, after he's done lamenting, after his friends are done giving him not so wise advice. After all of this, when God finally speaks to him, and what's so amazing is that God actually spoke to him from the storm. God spoke to him from the storm. When God starts questioning back to Job, this is how Job responds. He says, I know that you can do anything, and no one can stop you. And this is found in Job 42, verses 2 to 6. I know that you can do anything, and no one can stop you. You asked, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I, and I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me. You said, listen, and I will speak. I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. You see, when we remember who God is, we ultimately are reminded of who we are to him. See, when we remember who God is, we remember who God says we are, that we're his kids, that we're his masterpiece, that we're his chosen, that we're his beloved. See, our seasons of heartache are not to define, but to lead us to divine moments that we praise God even when it hurts. In Habakkuk 3, verses 17 to 18, it says this, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. I want to do something right now. For us here, for those of you who are online, can we take a moment right now to praise the Lord? You see, for some of us, we can praise the Lord free of hurt. But there's some of us that perhaps we felt like we couldn't praise him because of the season that we're in, because we're dealing with hurt. And the hurt seems more unbearable than anything else. But the truth is, it's when we enter into these painful, it's when we go through these seasons of hurt that we can actually praise God the most. So I want to invite you. I want to play a song, and the words are going to be on the screen. But I want to invite you in that no matter what season you are in, even if it hurts, that we would praise the Lord.
Take this mountain. thousand ways. Take these ocean tears. Hold me through the trial. Come like hope again. And even when the fight seems lost, I'll praise you. Even when it hurts like hell, I'll praise you. Even when it makes no sense to sing louder than I'll sing your praise. I will only sing your praise. And I will only sing your praise. And my heart burns only for you. You are all I want. My soul waits only for you. And I will sing till the miracle comes. My heart burns only for you. You are all I want. My soul waits only for you. And I will sing till the miracle comes. I will only sing your praise. 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 Even when the morning comes, I'll praise you. And even when the fight is won, I'll praise you. And even when my time on earth is done, louder than I sing your praise. I will only sing your praise.
You might be here right now, and maybe you're going through a painful season. Maybe this season has been filled with hurt. Maybe you've been telling yourself that you're okay, but you're actually not. Maybe you've been turning away from, maybe you've been turning towards the hurt rather than the healer. And maybe you've forgotten who God is. But even in this season of hurt, God wants to remind you of who he is and who you are. That you're not defined by the season you're in, you're defined by the creator of all seasons. That no matter what happens, you're still his child, you're still his masterpiece, you're still chosen, and you're still loved. And he's saying, stop turning into your hurt. Stop turning into the season, but turn to me. It's okay that you're not okay. Because even when it hurts,
present. Even when it's rough, I'm still for you. Even when you're angry at me, I'm still on your side. And he wants to take our lives and do something great with it in such a way that even when it hurts, we can still praise him. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Lord, the truth is, there are many people who are hurting, who are going through a season of hurt. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's broken relationships. Maybe it's health issues. Maybe it's financial hardships. Maybe it's dealing with the consequences of a mistake or even sin. Whatever it may be, Lord. Maybe it's just looking at how the world is. A world full of hurt. And this is where, Lord, you're calling us back to you. Just like how you did with Job. Job experienced painful, excruciating pain. A season filled with heartache and hardships. Yeah, he complained, and yeah, he argued, and yeah, he lamented. But at the end of it all, you still saw him as righteous. And so, Lord, let us learn from him. Let us understand that it's okay to not be okay. That you're not a God who says we got to get everything, we have to have everything set, that we have to be perfect, that we have to be okay. That you love us. That you're for us, that you're with us. You've never left us. Lord, I pray right now that there may be some people who are going through this season where it hurts. Lord, would you bring them back to you? Would you let them process the pain that they're going through with you? Lord, help them to turn towards you so that they would see all that you have and that all that you are for them. Bring healing. Bring restoration. Bring reminding of who you are and who we are in you. In every season, Lord, may we worship and praise you, because, Lord, you never change. And if you're going through that hard season, I just want to pray for you right now. Lord, I pray for those who have experienced hard and hurt seasons, the loss of a loved one, strained relationships, health issues, financial hardships, whatever it may be, Lord, whatever season they are in, Lord, bring them back to you. May they receive you as their Lord and Savior and as their one true God. May they worship you with all that they are and praise you even when it hurts. We love you, Lord. We thank you. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Amen. Because even when it hurts, we can still praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, would you join us as we stand and as we declare that we are here for him as he moves in us. We'll be right back. God bless everybody. We'll see you guys Wednesday nights at 6:30, as well as Sunday mornings at 7, 9, and 11 a.m. God bless everybody. Take care and aloha.